Philomène stayed behind Aureline and kept young Joseph close. She could see how young the soldier was, his eyes a mottled grey-blue that didn't fit his face. "You're even younger than Florentine was when he left," Aureline said in wonder to the boy. "How old are you?"
12, ma'am.
Aureline glanced back to where Philomène stood with her arms draped over young Joseph's thin shoulders, his back leaning into the roundness of her belly. Aureline pulled her eyes away from her son and turned back to the young soldier.
"You mustn't burn our cotton," she said,
trying to reason with the boy.
"You're on our side."
"Those are our orders, ma'am. The Yankees have already been through here once on the way up to Mansfield on the Red River campaign. You were lucky they missed you. They're following the river, but they'll be back through this time for the cotton. We have to torch it."
"What about the barn?"
Philomène whispered to Aureline. Aureline, eyes grown dark, ran ahead to one of the older men, a coarse-looking soldier with both teeth missing in front. He appeared to be the leader.
"Wait!" she said. "What about the mule, the plow? You can't burn down our barn!"
"We have a job and not much time. Anything you want from the barn that's not cotton, you better clear it out in the next few minutes."
"Will you help?" Aureline pleaded.
"I'm giving you time," the soldier said, wiping at his forehead. He stopped and took a long look at Aureline, hesitating. "I have a farm and a wife alone. Her hair's the same color as yours. We'll just take the chickens, not the mule or the hog. You better hurry."
Aureline ran back to where they all stood.
"We have to get everything we can out of the barn," she ordered,
hastily handing little Emily off to Valerie.
"You two stay put. Everyone else to the barn. Hurry, hurry!"
Valerie started to hiccup, but the little boy stayed put, clutching Emily so tightly that she started to cry. The rest followed Aureline. Inside the barn, Aureline grabbed Philomène's arm.
"What should be saved?"
"Get out the mule and plow and as much of the fodder as you can," Philomène said,
"and the grain and seed stored in the corner.
The children can carry the tools out. Make sure of the harness and reins and sacks. I'll get the hog away."
Philomène opened the gate and drove the hog with a peach tree switch as far from the barn as she could, the heavy porker grunting and squealing.
When she got back to the barn, Aureline was still struggling with the mule, which refused to budge.
"Madame, move the seeds," Philomène said. "I'll see to the mule."
Philomène pulled at the length of rope Aureline had fashioned around the mule's neck, but the animal brayed and sat on its hindquarters, determined not to move. She picked up a buggy whip and struck at the mule until her arms ached, and at last the beast got up onto all fours. Philomène ran around to the back of the mule and gave him a savage lash to get him moving. She never really saw his hind leg kick out, but suddenly she was down on the ground, the wind totally gone from her, a deep pain in her stomach. She looked up to see the mule bucking and braying, moving away from where she lay sprawled in the dirt, starting at last toward the sunshine. The farm was in turmoil, dust flying, sounds louder than she could bear. She picked herself up unsteadily amid the squealing, braying, and crowing. She heard Emily's cry, mixed with other shouting voices, and saw the young soldier with the grey-blue eyes helping young Joseph drag a bag of grain through the barn doors. She grabbed a harness and took it out to the growing pile outside the barn.
"No more time! Everybody clear out!" pronounced the soldier with the missing teeth.
He took a large can from his horse's saddle and splashed the bound bales of cotton with the liquid contents. Flames flashed upward as soon as he struck the match. It took some time for the fire to engulf the stacks of cotton, giving out a dark, suffocating, dense smoke. But then the flames grew bolder and more greedy, ripening until they were as high as the beams of the barn.